This week's parsha is Parshas Balak, and in Parshas Balak we have the story of Balak hiring Bilam to curse the Jews. Hashem tells Bilam not to go. Hashem sees that Bilam really wants to go. Hashem tells Bilam that he could go, but he should know that whatever Hashem will put in Bilam's mouth, that is what Bilam is going to say, that he won't be able to say the words that he wants to curse the Jews, only the words that Hashem will put in his mouth. Bilam decides to go anyways. Bilam tries to curse the Jews, a blessing comes out. He tries again to curse the Jews, a blessing comes out. On the third try, on chapter 24, Pasuk number 1, there the Pasuk says, Vayar Bilam, Ki toiv be'enei Hashem levorech es Yisrael, that Bilam sees that it is good in the eyes of Hashem to bless the Jews. At this point, Bilam blesses the Jews, and he says, Ma toivu holecho Yaakov, mishkeno isecho Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, O Yaakov, your dwelling places, O Israel. Our shiur will focus mostly on the pasuk Ma toivu holecho Yaakov, Mishkeno Secho Israel. But before we go to that, we have to understand what was in Bilam's mind. Meaning that since Bilam knew that whatever Hashem is going to put in his mouth, that is what he's going to say, and Hashem had previously told him, don't go curse the Jews, then what does Bilam hope to accomplish by going? In truth, Rashi on chapter 22, Pasuk number 20, Rashi says there, Im likre lecha, if you think the calling is for you and you hope to get a great reward for it, in other words, you're going for the money, then you should know that you are not going to get the money. According to Rashi, even though Bilam knew that Hashem is going to put the words in his mouth, nonetheless, Bilam thought that he'll still be able to extract money out of Balak. Or you could say that since Hashem doesn't say clearly that he's going to bless the Jews, Hashem only says that the words that I'll put in your mouth, that's the words that you are going to say. And even though Bilam knows that Hashem loved the Jewish people because all the goings in the desert was all miraculous, and Bilam knew that Hashem is the one doing it, nonetheless, Bilam thought that maybe if he's able to bring up old criticism, bring up old mistakes, bring up faults that the Jewish people do, then it'll cause Hashem not to bless him, and then his curse will be able to take effect, that he'll able to awaken anger in Hashem against the Jews, and then Hashem won't bless them anymore, and the curse will take effect. Sefer Be'er Maim Chaim asks this question, and he gives an answer, but before we bring the answer of Sefer Be'er Maim Chaim, we'll ask another question, which the Mechaber of the Sefer Beis Halachmi asks. He asks, we know we have the brachas of the Haftorah, meaning that every Shabbos we read the Maftir, and before we read the Maftir, we make a blessing. And the blessing says, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Bochar Binviim Toivim, Hashem who has chosen good prophets, Verotzo Bedivreyem Hanemorim Bemez, and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. The Mechaber of Sefer Beis Halachmi asks a question, what does it mean, Hashem who chose good prophets? Is there such a thing as bad prophets? And also he asks a question, what does it mean that Hashem was pleased with their words? If they are really prophets, and a prophet is supposed to say the words of Hashem, and you calling them good prophets, then what does it mean that you were pleased if their words they were uttered in truth? Their words are Hashem's words. Then sure it is going to be uttered in truth. So why are we making the blessing that Hashem who chose good prophets
and he was pleased in their words that were uttered in truth. What is the meaning of that statement? A prophet is required to say the words of Hashem. So if he's required to say the words of Hashem, obviously the words are going to be truth. And what difference is if the prophet is good or the prophet is bad if he's going to utter the words of Hashem? The Mechaber of Sefer Beis Halachmi answers this question with the Be'er Mem Chaim in this week's Parsha. Sefer Be'er Mem Chaim brings the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudalet Omed Beis
14b,
where there the Gemara is discussing that there are seven prophetesses. The seven prophetesses are Sara Imenu, Miriam, the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, Dvoira, which is described in Judges when she fought Sisera and won, Chana, the mother of Shmuel and Ovi, Avigail, the wife of King David, Hulda, which we are going to explain, the Esther and Queen Esther from the story of the Megillah. The Gemara discusses Hulda. The Gemara says, how do I know that Hulda was a prophetess? The Gemara answers that it's clearly written on Malachim 2, Kings 2, chapter 22, Pasuk number 14, Vayelech Chilkiyahu HaKoyen, the Chilkiyahu, the priest, Vachikom, Vachboer, Nachikom, and Achboer, Veshofon, Veasoyo, and Shofon and Asoyo, they went El Hulda Hanavia to Hulda the prophetess. They went to ask her interpretation on the prophecy. What are they asking and what is going on? They require to go to this prophetess. Chapter 22 in Malachim Beis explains what is going on. There it's mentioned that King Yoshiyahu was a righteous king. Pasuk number 2 says that he did Hayoshor b'ein Hashem, what's right in the eyes of Hashem, and he walked in the path of David. In the 18th year of his kingdom, he decided to renovate the Beis HaMikdash. Since the last time the Beis HaMikdash was renovated was 224 years before, during the reign of King Yehoash, King Yoshiyahu decides to renovate the Beis HaMikdash, and he appoints Chilkiyahu, the high priest, to be the manager to see what needs to be repaired and also to oversee the repairs. Chilkiyahu, while he's repairing the Beis HaMikdash, he finds a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah, instead of being rolled to the beginning, is rolled to one pasuk in the Toichacha, in the admonitions that is written on Deuteronomy and Dvarim. As soon as he sees where it's rolled up, he takes it to Shofan, the scribe of the king, and the scribe of the king comes distressed into the king, and the king asks him to read the passage that caused him such distress. And the verse that caused such distress to everybody is in Dvarim, chapter 28, pasuk number 36. On chapter 28, pasuk 36, the pasuk says, Yoylech Hashem oyscho vezmalkecho, Hashem will take you and your king, Ashatakim Alecho, that you will put on you, El Goya Shalayodato, to a nation that you are not going to know, Atov Avosecho, you and your forefathers. In other words, the Pasuk is predicting that the Jewish people are going to be exiled from the land, and not only the people are going to be exiled, but also the king is going to be exiled. As soon as the king heard what is written, he tore his clothes and became very distressed, and he sent to Hulda the prophetess to interpret or to give the prophecy what is going to happen. They come to Hulda the prophetess, and she says that since you acted properly, you became subordinate, and your heart became broken when you heard this news, and you are righteous, Hashem is going to spare you and is not going to bring this exile during your lifetime. But nonetheless, the Gemara concludes that we see from here clearly that Hulda was a prophetess. The Gemara asks a question, how can you send to Hulda v'makom deko Yirmiyahu eichem isnab yohi, in a place where Yirmiyahu is the preeminent prophet, how come she is entitled to give prophecy?
In other words, a simple interpretation is that if you have a chief rabbi in town, then other people aren't allowed to give their own decisions. And here, if Yirmiyahu was the prophet, how come she prophesied? Sefer Ben Yehoyada asks that he doesn't understand the Gemara. The Gemara is asking how can Hulda prophesize when Yirmiyahu is the prophet. Prophecy is not something that you could choose to do it on your own. Hashem gives prophecy to a person, and the person is obligated to say what the prophecy is. A person cannot choose to suppress or not suppress his prophecy. As a matter of fact, if a prophet suppresses his prophecy, then he is guilty of death. So what kind of question is it? How come she was able to prophesy in the place of Yirmiyahu? The Ein Yaakov answers that since this prophecy is a prophecy that affects the whole nation, and Yirmiyahu is the known prophet for the nation, then Hulda should have deferred and told the people to go to Yirmiyahu for the prophecy. Since this wasn't a spontaneous prophecy that came automatically, those prophecies a prophet cannot control and he's required to transmit. But in this case, this was a prophecy that you have to prepare yourself for, because they came to ask her what is the interpretation. Therefore, at this point, she should have deferred and told them, go to Yirmiyahu, that Yirmiyahu will be able to give you the answer. The Gemara answers that since Hulda was a relative of Yirmiyahu, she knew that Yirmiyahu won't be upset, and in truth, Yirmiyahu wasn't upset. Therefore, she felt that she could give the prophecy. The Gemara now asks a very strong question. I understand why Hulda could give the prophecy, because she was a relative of Yirmiyahu, and Yirmiyahu did not mind her prophesizing. But the question is, how can the king Yoshiyahu send for Hulda to interpret when he has a ranking prophet, Yirmiyahu, where he is the preeminent prophet? Why didn't he send to Yirmiyahu to interpret what is going to happen? True that once you send to Hulda, Hulda could give you the answer, but how come you send it to Hulda and you didn't give it to Yirmiyahu? The Gemara answers that the reason that King Yeshayahu bypassed Yirmiyahu and gave it to Hulda is because Hulda was a woman, and we know Noshim Rachmon Yosen, women are more merciful than men. The simple interpretation of this Gemara, and we are going to ask questions on this simple interpretation, is that since he had reason to believe that what he read is something bad and something sad, therefore he decided to go to a woman, that since a woman is more merciful than man, she will give him a good prophecy. The Maharsha asks a question, how can we say an interpretation like that? We know that prophecy is given through Hashem. You cannot choose to change the prophecy. It does not make a difference if you are a man or you are a woman. Hashem gives the same prophecy to both. So what does it mean that he's sending to a woman because a woman is more merciful? How does that change the prophecy? Do you think just because the prophecy is going through a woman, the prophecy is going to change? The Maharsha answers that interpretation on this Gemara is different. That the Gemara answers that since women are more merciful, as soon as they hear the prophecy that is bad, they right away pray that the prophecy should change or something happened. Since King Yoshiyahu had reason to believe that this is a bad prophecy, he wanted to send to a woman, because if the woman will get really as a bad interpretation, she will go out of her way to pray that Hashem should annul or change the prophecy in some way because of her being Rachmonious, because her being more merciful than man. But the prophecy wasn't going to change either if it came from Yirmiyahu or came from Hulda. But he sent to her because he thought that since she's a woman, she will pray right away that the prophecy should be changed or annulled. But Sefer Beim Haim Chaim answers differently, and he says that even though the prophecy that is given to a man or given to a woman is the same prophecy, And the prophet is required to say exactly the words that Hashem tells them. But nonetheless, there is reason why King Yoshiyahu would give it through a woman. And to illustrate this answer, he gives an example. Let's make believe you have a pipe made of sugar, and the pipe is made to bring water from one place to the other place. Even though we'll have water going in and we'll have water going out, but it's impossible for the water going out not to absorb some of the sugar of the pipe. Therefore, the water that will come out will be a little bit sweet, even though it is the same water, but it'll acquire a sweet taste. And in the same way, if you have a pipe that is made of bitter material and you pass water through it, the water that is going to come out to the other side, even though it is the same water, it receives some of the bitter taste of the bitter material that is in the pipe. So he explains that is the same idea of a person who is good, a person who is merciful, relaying the prophecy of Hashem, and a person who is harsh, who is not so merciful, relaying the prophecy of Hashem. Meaning that King Yoshiyahu knew that Hashem is giving the prophecy no matter what. But he thought that since Huldah was a woman, and women are more merciful than men, then even though Hashem's words are going to come out through Huldah, and they are the same exact words that would have come out through Yirmiyahu, but they get some of the rachmanut, some of the mercy of Huldah. They absorb some of the sugar of Huldah. Therefore, the prophecy is going to be spiced with mercy. That even though it's the same words that Hashem told her to say, but nonetheless, since it goes through Huldah's body, or Huldah is the one saying those words, that will come out mercy. And he thought that since Yirmiyahu previously, he was always rebuking the people, and even though he didn't do it on his own accord, he's telling what Hashem told him. But we see Yirmiyahu as a position that he always rebuking people, so much so that even Yirmiyahu didn't want to do the job. He didn't want to be the bearer of bad news. Therefore, King Yoshiyahu, when he saw this seems to be a bad prophecy, decided to ask Huldah for the prophecy and not Yirmiyahu, because Huldah will imbue in this prophecy some sweetness, and where Yirmiyahu may not be as sweet. Sefer Be'er Mayim Chaim explains that this is exactly what Bilam wanted to do. Since we know that Bilam had a jealous eye on the Jews, he couldn't see anybody get greatness. He was an evil person. He was a Jew hater from before. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Vav Omed Aleph says, Omar Abchia Barab Omar Absimar, Abchia Barab said in the name of Rab Simar, Shloisha Ayo Boiso Eitzah, three people were involved in that advice to Pharaoh. When Pharaoh asked for advice in the beginning of Parshas Shmos, chapter 1, Pasuk number 10, where it says, Havon Ischak Moloi, come on, let's outsmart the Jewish people, where Paro is deciding how to kill the Jewish children. The Gemara brings down that there were three people involved in that argument, three advisors to Pharaoh, and they are Bilam, Iyuv, and Isro. Bilam from our Parsha, Job from the book of Job where he suffers, and Jethro, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. We see from this Gemara that Bilam was a Jew hater not from now, he hated the Jews from before, and he also knew that Hashem protects the Jews. Then Bilam thought that even though Hashem is going to put the words in his mouth, and even if Bilam knew that those words are words of blessing, but Bilam thought that since those words are going to come through me, through a person that's so evil, so a person that hates the Jews so much, then even the blessing of the Jews that I'm going to give, even the blessings of Hashem that will come out through my mouth, those blessings will turn to bad. Because since I hate them so much, then obviously whatever I'm going to say it's going to be imbued with evilness, with badness and detriment to the Jews. Therefore, even a bracha that's going to come through me is going to turn out bad. Therefore, even after Hashem tells him that whatever I'm going to tell you, you are required to say, and even if in worst of circumstances Hashem tells him to give a bracha, a blessing, he knows that eventually this bracha is going to turn out to be bad because it's going through such a venomous prophet as Bilaam. Therefore, he requested and he wasn't afraid to go when he wanted to go, give a blessing which eventually is a curse to the Jews because it goes through him. And according to this, the Mechaber of Sefer Beis Halachmi says, we understand how come in the Haftorah we make the blessing Hashem who has chosen good prophets, and we asked what's the difference if the prophet is good or the prophet is bad. The prophecy is the same because the prophecy comes directly from Hashem. But according to the Sefer, Be'er Mayim Chaim explains that it makes a big difference through what body, through what pipe the prophecy comes through. Therefore, we are thanking Hashem that all the prophets that He gave us are good prophets, prophets that have good deeds, prophets that are merciful, prophets that only want the good of the Jewish people, that even if the prophecy will be bad, nonetheless, Hashem will turn them to good because the prophets that say it are good prophets. And regarding the rest of the bracha that it says, Verotzo bedivreihem, and he was pleased with the words Hanemorim b'emes that were uttered in truth, it doesn't mean that the prophecy is uttered in truth. For sure the prophecy is uttered in truth because that's the word of Hashem. It means before you got that prophecy, before you give the word of Hashem, the way these prophets behave in normal life, they always say the truth. Therefore, since they always say the truth, they are good prophets because they know to be merciful. They know what Hashem wants, because truth is shalom for the world. Truth is peace to the world. Truth is true service of Hashem. That's what they are interested. Therefore, Hashem chose them. How do I know the Nevi'im Toivim? Because Hashem always was pleased with the words that they always said in truth. Therefore, Hashem made them prophets. And therefore, we are thanking Hashem for choosing such righteous people who are kind and loving to be our prophets, that even if the prophecy is bad, nonetheless, because they are good prophets, it'll turn out to be good. I wanted to say that according to this Be'er Mayim Chaim, we understand very clear the statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Hei Amed Beis, 105b. There the Gemara says, Om Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani of Rabbi Yonason. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonason, I'm going to skip the pasuk. Toive klala shekilel achia shelonis Israel. It's better the curse that Achia Shiloni, the prophet, cursed the Jewish people, Yoiser mibracha shebarcham Bilaam Marasha, better than the blessing that Bilaam gave them. In other words, Achia Shiloni cursed Yeravam ben Nevat, Yeravam who caused the Jewish people to go astray in idolatry, Achia cursed him. His curse is better, came out a greater good, better than the blessings that Bilaam gave. The Gemara explains that Achia Shiloni, when he cursed the Jews in Malachim Aleph, Kings 1, chapter 14, Pasuk number 15, he says that Hashem should smite the Jews, Kashe Yonut Hakone Bamaim. The way that the reed sways in the water, so should the Jewish people be cursed. In other words, he compared the Jewish people's punishment as a reed swaying in water. And Bilaam, when Bilaam gave a blessing to the Jews, on this week's Parsha, chapter 24, Pasuk number 6, he gives us a blessing, Ke'arozim aleimoim, like cedars on top of water. That the Jewish people are like cedars on top of water. Seemingly, you think that really Achia Shiloni gave us a curse, that we are going to be bent like a reed is bent on water. And Bilaam gave us a blessing that we should be like cedar trees which are tall and strong. But deeply, the Gemara says quite opposite. Achia Shiloni, because he was a prophet and he was a good person,
He gave us a curse that we should be like a reed through water. The same way that a reed, if you cut it, is able to regenerate itself, so too the Jewish people, even though they are going to be cut off, some of them will die, they'll be able to regenerate itself. As we have seen that this had happened numerous times in our history, in the Holocaust, in the Inquisition, that even though they tried to uproot us, we are able to regenerate ourselves and becoming stronger. And in the same way that a reed, because it has so many roots, it's so deeply rooted, therefore, even if all the winds come, they cannot uproot it. And even though the winds come, they are able to bend it, but as soon as the wind stops, the reed grows upright. So too the Jewish people, even if strong governments come and try to uproot it, they can't uproot it because we have deep commitments, deep roots. And also, if they try to hurt us, we are able to bend. And as soon as the government stops hurting us, we are able to stand upright again. That's why Achi Sholi cursed us to be like a reed. That curse is really not a curse. It eventually ends up being a blessing. But Bilam blessed us with cedar on water. Cedar on water cannot exist. So Bilam's blessing was that we aren't able to exist. Also, cedar, if you cut off the cedar, then that cedar won't again regenerate itself. So too Bilam wanted us not to regenerate ourselves. So too, cedar, true, it's strong and no wind could move it, but because it doesn't have deep roots, once a strong wind comes and is able to topple it, then it cannot go back to its place. So too Bilam, even though he gave us a blessing that we should be strong as a cedar, but his deep insight was quite opposite. His intentions with the bracha, with the blessing, was that we should topple like a cedar, we shouldn't regenerate like a cedar, and we shouldn't exist like cedar doesn't exist over water. So it comes out that Bilam's blessing is worse than Achi Ashloni curse. Why? We could explain, according to the Beis Maim Chaim, because depends who utters it. That since Bilam's blessing came through such a bad person as Bilam, therefore even his blessings end up being like curses, because it really means those things that to be cut off and to be bad. But Achi Ashloni, even though his curses was that we should bend like a reed, the curses have a silver lining on them, because they come from a worthy, righteous person, and everything that comes through a worthy, righteous person, even the curses, turn out to be a blessing. We know we begin our daily davening with the pasuk Matoivu Alecho Yaakov Mishkanasecho Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. Even though we do this, but you should know that this is not a universally accepted position. Shalos Tshuvos Maharshal Simen Samach Dalet says that you're required to skip over that pasuk. And in the Siddur of Yaakov Emden, he brings down that you should not say this pasuk because Bilam is the one who said this pasuk. So we have to understand, according to the opinions, we say the pasuk, how come we say it? And according to the opinions, we do not say it, how come we do not say it? We have to first understand, what does it mean, Matoivu Alecho Yaakov Mishkenosecho Yisrael? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Hei Amet Beis 105b, explains that Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, how goodly are your tents of Yaakov, refers to the places of learning and the places of prayer that the Jewish people do. And that is based on the pasuk that's written on Bereshis chapter 25, pasuk number 27, where there it says, "V'Yaakov ishtam." Yaakov is a wholesome man or a complete man. Yoishev aholim, he resides in tents. Rashi brings down, what does he mean? He resides in tents. Rashi says, "Aholo shel Shem," he resides the academy of Shem, where place of learning of Shem. "V'aholo shel Ever,"
and the tenth of Aver. So therefore, when Bilam was saying, Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, how goodly is your tents of Yaakov, he was referring to the tents where Yaakov prayed and learned. Those tents are the tents of learning. Mishkan Osecho Yisrael, the Gemara says, is the places where Hashem gives His Shechina, divine presence, that Hashem always puts His Shechina amongst us, and that is what Bilam was referring to. According to this, comes out that Matoivu Alecho Yaakov refers to the house of Torah and houses of prayer. Mishkan Osecho Yisrael refers to the Shechina resting amongst us. With that interpretation, we have a simple reason why we start our prayer every morning with Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, Mishkan Osecho Yisrael, since Bilam was referring to houses of prayer and houses of learning, and there is where the Shechina appears. Because the Gemara in Masechtas Brachas, Davav Omed Aleph 6a says, Omar Ravin Baravad Omar Rav Yitzchak, Ravin the son of Ravada says, Nehu Rav Yitzchak, Menayin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Motzu Beveis HaKnesses, how do I know that Hashem is found in the synagogue? And he brings a pasuk, Nemar Elokim Nitzav Badas Keil, that Hashem is standing in the divine assembly. In other words, when we assemble to Daven, then Hashem stands there. Then maybe, since we are required to pray in the synagogue, and you want to make sure that you have the proper decorum for prayer, that you know that you are praying in front of Hashem, you say the pasuk, Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, Mishkan Osecho Yisrael, how goodly is your tents of Yaakov, which means the house of prayer also, and Mishkan Osecho Yisrael, that Hashem's Shechina, Hashem's divine presence is here, for you to know that you have to act with a little more seriousness because Hashem is here. Sefer Baruch She'omar, though, gives a different reason how come we start Matoivu Alecho Yaakov Mishkan Osecho Yisrael, and he bases it on the Gemara on Masechta Sanhedrin 105b. There the Gemara says, Omar Ravava Bar Kahana, Ravana Bar Kahana says, Kulam Chozer Leklola, all the blessings of Bilam turned out to be curses. Chutz mi batach nesios, zivote medrashois, besides Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, which is batach nesios, zivote medrashois, that turned out to be good. In other words, that all the blessings that Bilam gave us in our parsha turned eventually to curses, besides Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, Mishkan Osecho Yisrael, which always turned out to be good. So Sefer Baruch She'omar says that based in this Gemara, that is the reason why we say Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, Mishkan Osecho Yisrael in the morning, because that's the only blessing that Bilam gave us that remained a blessing. Therefore, we say it in the morning. And we have to say that according to the people that believe that we should not say it, because they believe, like the Beir Maim Chaim that we explained, that even though the bracha remained, but nonetheless, because Bilam uttered the words, and even though the words are talking about besmedrish, are talking about great things, but we don't want to do anything that came from a source like Bilam, because that source automatically, eventually, gets corrupted. Sefer Leif Simcha asks a question, how come all the brachas that Bilam gave us turned out to be curses, but this one, Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, did not turn out to be a curse? And he answers that this is clearly written in the Pasuk. On chapter 24, Pasuk number 1, there it says, Vayar Bilam ki toiv b'ene Hashem levorech es Yisrael. Bilam saw that Hashem wants to bless the Jewish people. Therefore, he decided, instead of trying to go making a curse and then end up being a blessing, that he gave a blessing directly. Sefer Leif Simcha explains that since Bilam, in this blessing, he did a hirur tshuva, a remembrance of tshuva, of repentance, because he wanted to bless the Jew, we have the rule, habalet tair mesayinoy soy, somebody who comes to cleanse himself, Hashem helps him out. So therefore, this blessing that he clearly had an inkling of repentance endured. According to this, we could give two different interpretations how come we say Matoivu in the morning. Because even though Bilam's bracha turned out to be a bracha and not a curse, we still have a question, why did the rabbis institute to start the day with
Bilam's words. We could definitely find in the Torah some fitting words of prayer, of praise to Hashem, that we should start our daily prayer with. Why did they see fit to specifically start our daily prayer with the words of Bilam? What's the message that they try to give? We could say that according to this Leif Simcha, since Abol Etayr Mesayin Oisyoi, since we see that even if you are like Bilam, but you try to do the right thing, then Hashem helps you, and that endures forever. Therefore, if you are going to start to pray, we want you to know that if you are trying to purify yourself, then Hashem will help you, that even Bilam Hashem helped and his blessing endured forever. So too, what you try to do, if you try to make it for the right reasons, Hashem will give you a blessing that will endure forever. In a deeper level, I want to say that the reason that all the blessings that Bilam gave turned out to be curses, but Matoivu Alecho Yaakov endured forever, is in the same way as the Leif Simcha explains, that this is the only time that his thought and his words ended up being the same. In other words, up until now, he wanted to give a curse, and it came out a blessing. Hashem made it turn to a blessing. That means that he had machshava for one thing, but the words he said was other things. Therefore, it did not materialize his words. His words did not materialize because his thoughts were in a different place, were quite opposite. His thoughts were the opposite of what he was saying. But when his thoughts and his mouth end up being the same, then it materializes and the bracha stays on forever. And therefore, we start Matoiv Alecho Yaakov. Again, Bilam's intention really was to curse the Jews. But Hashem put words in his mouth, and the mouth ended up being a blessing. So his intent is to curse, and the mouth comes out to be a blessing. Therefore, what comes out of his mouth doesn't endure because it's counteracted by his thought. But at one point where he wants to give a blessing, and he gives a blessing with his mouth, then that blessing stays and endures forever. I wanted to say that this is exactly the message that the rabbis wanted before I start my prayer, to understand how important it is to have my thought and my mouth thinking of the same thing. Unfortunately, nowadays, we are saying Shema Nesra and our thoughts are wandering all over. And we think that it's not important what I'm thinking during the blessing, as long as I say the words that's important. Therefore, the rabbi specifically instituted that you'll start the day with Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, with the blessing that Bilam gave you, and you're going to ask me, how come we start with a blessing that Bilam Arasha gave? And we're going to answer you, because that's the only one that endures. And you're going to ask me, how come that is the only one that endures? And we are going to answer you. You know why that one endures? Because in all the other blessings that he gave, he had his mind somewhere else. But that is the only one where his mouth and his mind were in one place. Therefore it endures. Then you learn the lesson that you require to make sure that your mouth and your thoughts are in the same place. That whatever you say, you are thinking of. If you want your prayers to be answered, you want your blessings to endure, then you have to make sure that your machshava, your thought, and your mouth is in the same place. Sefer Shevet Meyuda says that the initials of Matoivu Alecho Yaakov Mishkenosecho, the Rosh Tevis of them, makes the word Tmeim impure, meaning that the Toivu has got the Tes, the Ma has got the Mem, the Olecho has got the Aleph, Yaakov has got the Yud, Mishkenosecho has got the Mem. So that makes the word impure. It means to say that even if impure people are learning Torah, if they come to the Beis HaMedrash and they come to the Beis HaKnesses, to the house of prayer, to pray, then they'll automatically have the Shechina resting of them. So it could be that this is the reason why Matoivu Alecho Yaakov could not revert to a curse. That everything else is possible to get corrupted. But if a person is learning Torah, in the Beis HaMedrash or praying in the synagogue, in Shul, then he's safe. As the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, Omed Beis, brings down that in Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, that the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel learned, in Paga Bechama Noval Zeh, if this revolting evil inclination engages you and attempts to entice you, Moshcheu LeBeis HaMedrash, draw him into the study hall, that in the Beis HaMedrash you are technically safe from the evil inclination. Therefore, could be that this is the reason why all the blessings of Bilam were eventually turned to curses, but this one, because this one involves Beis HaMedrash, involves our house of learning, and involves our house of prayer, that he could not change to curse, because if you are in those houses, automatically you'll get a blessing. And Hashem Yisborach should help that he should have the Matoivu Alecho Yaakov, that the tents of Yaakov should be good, that we should have more people coming to pray and more people coming to learn Torah. Automatically we'll have Mishkenosecho Yisrael, we'll have the Shechina resting amongst us, and if we increase our Torah learning in the Beis HaMedrash, in the house of study, and we increase our prayer in the house of prayer, then we'll have the Shechina remain with us longer, and the Shechina may decide just to stay here forever amongst us. He'll send us Moshiach, we'll rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, b'imheira b'yomeinu, amen.